Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hey, fellas, welcome back.
Walt.
Walt, how are you?
It's going to stick, eh?
Yes, it is.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take Walt over. Of course, we had Chach with us this weekend.
Yeah.
In Bonneville, and she referred to me as Rook or Rookie for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for that.
But depending when this airs, it might not be this weekend.
Well, right. Well, right. But very recently.
But yeah. At the Bonneville camp, I also heard another nickname the kids were calling you, and it was Coach Cupcake.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Okay, yeah. And here's the backstory. First of all, who doesn't love cupcakes, number one?
Everyone.
Number two, in Bonneville, there's a really good restaurant called Jenny's Diner. So when you start getting the younger groups in and they're really hard to keep on task, I asked them, hey, have you ever eaten Jenny's Diner for cupcakes? They're like, oh, we love cupcakes. So last year, they actually made us 2 dozen cupcakes and brought them out. And this year, they just called me Cupcake and didn't bring us cupcakes, which is a bit worse. I don't mind being called Coach Cupcake if someone's bringing
if you get the cupcake.
Right. It seems a little bit... a double negative there. Yeah, it's not
Coach
great.
Mr. Christie's.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So, a couple nicknames floating around for me. I'd like to have one of them stick. Maybe make it all go away. Walt's not bad. I mean, Disneyland's awesome.
You got to explain it.
Okay. No, I'm not going to explain
no,
it.
No, it's on the
no,
cast.
No, but I mean, when you say Walt, you got to end up explaining it, right? And then so you go through the story, and then it actually makes a lot
it
of sense.
It does make sense. Yeah.
Does it make sense?
It sure does. Donnie, yes, it does.
Well, okay.
It's a good thing.
It's not
kind of
bad.
A compliment.
No, I do like to positively reinforce the athletes we work with, and apparently it's... I'm like Walt Disney.
We've never noticed
Disneyland.
That.
Disneyland.
We've
never rains. Noticed that. Yeah. It never rains in Disneyland,
no,
right?
No, no. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nickname that I can't take offense to. Obviously, it's a great place. Makes people happy. That's what I'm here for.
I guess the only thing now that you have to kind of be concerned with is that you don't, like, the sky can't fall either. No. Like, you can't all of a sudden just have a bad day and now
I've got to be
some spirit somewhere.
Yeah, I've got to be on all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we all have our roles. We have Razor, who does the...
Knocking it down.
Knock
we call
it down.
Him Lumberjack Razor.
Yeah. And I'm an air compressor, just filling tires all
That's
day.
That's right. There you go.
We'll have to do our part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
You say though that you don't mind it, but every time we went around the circle in Bonneville and I looked at you and I went Walt and your eyes just went down like ugh.
No, the best was when he came back and he said, or you said, how do you like your time or something like
no,
that.
How long? Donnie's been with us for 3, going on 4 years,
right?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, 4 magical years.
Magical.
That was awesome.
I didn't get it right away.
No, yeah, I didn't. Hey,
that's fantastic.
Are we gonna bring up Chach though? Because we talked about it on on Saturday. Chach had some vehicle issues.
I think it's appalling.
I can't believe it happened to her. I felt so bad for her.
Transmission like clunked
right out of her vehicle. Like I heard it was like laying on the ground.
Yeah, it just fell right out.
Awful.
So we can be fairly persuasive in this podcast.
Yeah.
Like where do you think she purchased that vehicle? Was it at a car dealership or where do you think she got it?
It was not.
You would think, but no.
She bought it privately?
It was a private sale.
Well, you can't really blame private citizen. If she bought it privately, how do you know what's
except
going on?
What if you know the person really well? Is there any fault?
Yeah, but that's a rule. Ooh. You shouldn't be doing that.
No, right? I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
She bought it from somebody she knows?
She did.
Really?
Someone that you know.
Really?
What?
No.
That's true.
Stop it.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let it out.
Well, the Ritz family.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Ritz?
Yeah.
David.
Okay, let me get
David,
this straight.
David.
She bought... Chach bought her car from the Ritzes, and then like 10 minutes later, the transmission falls out?
That's right, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think she's got a lawsuit, really.
I think she does too.
I think she should probably. That's, and this is where we'll give her a springboard to jump into that lawsuit.
Yeah.
So you know the Ritzes are listening or someone's going to get this to them fairly
quick.
Sure. I think so. Yeah.
I think they need to have a conversation.
Yeah. And maybe we'll have an update maybe in a few
future
weeks
cast,
or something like that, just to see kind of how things go. You know, I think we need to keep an eye on this.
I think Dave or Trish should probably reach out because I'd like to hear their side of it.
I'll tell you what, I've had enough of this kind of crap happening in our society today.
Dean's taking a stand. Let's go, Dean.
Here comes a tinfoil hat.
Oh. Well, to be fair, though.
To be fair.
Which we haven't done for a while.
That's
nice.
Right.
Feels good.
Way to bring it back.
You have to know the Ritzes are a great family. They probably had no idea that their
let's
transmission
say probably.
Was about,
probably.
It was a ticking time bomb, this transmission.
For sure, yeah. So, in other words, they got rid of it just in time.
Yeah, their timing was great.
Good time.
I bought a lot of cars, and I've never really had a transmission fall out. I've had reverse leave. Remember that?
Yeah, you
car?
Did. We had to push your little Ford Ranger.
Yeah,
we had to push it out of the parking lot of the arena all the time because he had no reverse.
Yeah,
yeah.
Had to, you know, you had to George Costanza wish yourself a good parking spot.
Just circle the lot till one comes open.
That's right.
That's right. So you want to get in the guest today?
Sure.
Yeah, this is gonna be a good one. Yeah,
so we've had umpires, we've had Olympians, we had a strength and conditioning coach, we've had a mental training coach, we've had all kinds of different levels.
The curler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think everyone who's on the cast is probably a fan of the game. That's why they're in it. That's why they're playing. That's why they're coaching. But yep. Today we have our very first super fan.
Amen.
Yes.
So anyone who's been around any of the parks for the last 30 years has probably seen this guy sitting directly behind home plate in a lawn chair watching some of the best ball.
Yep.
So from North Vancouver, we got Doug Roberts. Welcome to the cast. Super fan Doug.
Thanks, guys. It's an honor and a privilege to be here today.
Dougie,
how you doing, bud?
Usually we say
great
it's an honor
Josh,
to have
great Dino.
The guest on, and now the guest is saying it's an honor to be on. This is starting to look up for the two stock boys.
There you go.
No, it is an honor, and it's the greatest game in the world.
You're right about that. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today, Doug. I know we got lots to talk about. I guess the first question probably everyone wants to know is, how'd you fall in love with the game? What made you fall in love with the game?
Well, I was basically playing ice hockey in a men's league in Squamish with a lot of ex-Junior A guys and you know, guys from back east and stuff in a hitting fighting league. And a good friend of mine that played on one of the teams, Danny Klein, he played for New West Regents for a time and other teams, and he said, oh, I'm playing at South Memorial Park tonight. Why don't you come out and watch? And I had never, you know, been to the park as far as I knew. And I said, okay, where is it? And I went there, and it was Big Bird Sound with the Mann's brothers and Donnie Moberg pitching, Buster's younger brother. And so it was like eight Senior A teams in one league. And it was like, wow, this is professional. And, so then this advanced cab team wanted a pitcher, and I was throwing in a tire in my backyard for a while, and they took me out to the park, and they said, hey, come on out and play. So I knew a bunch of the cab drivers, and that's how it happened in South Vancouver, and basically won my first game 13-11 and got a triple to win the game, and it was, you know, it was a lot of fun, and that was the first kick at it in South Vancouver, and I spent about, a dozen years in that league, and then on to South Memorial Park. But the best team I played for in the South Vancouver League was a team called the Pioneers, and Dino might remember Pat Bell from South Hill. Pat was our coach, and these guys were a great defensive team with lots of good hitters. They probably had three guys that could have played Senior A if they ever wanted to. And so the first year with that team, I ended up winning best pitcher in the league with a 6-2 record and MVP of the playoffs with a 3-0 record. And it was like,
well,
friggin' dreamland. But, you know, so I was a thumber pitcher. And as I said to Tosh and Dino on the phone the other day, I would have gave my right nut to pitch Senior A ball. But I couldn't afford to because I gave my left nut to pitch the Senior C ball.
Perfect. You know, Dougie, that's a good story, but I've heard it before. That's Todd Martin's. That's how he started, too. I remember he said he had a tire in his backyard, and, you know, he just started that way, and all of a sudden he kind of worked his way through the hinterlands into the travel league. So I think that's it's kind of neat to have the same story as Marty, right?
Yeah, Todd Martin, 42 IFC wins. He had a hell of a career.
He did.
We might have found a guy who has as much knowledge off the top of his head as Peter Lombardius here. We might have
same cast.
Yeah, could have these two on.
We can have them a war against each other.
Yeah, that'd be really good. So Dougie, we'll kind of fast forward here a little bit, and we'll maybe talk a little bit more on your playing days as it goes along here. But we, you know, myself, introduced to you in the mid-90s, I guess, when I came out to the island and started playing, and Dino was in Vancouver, and that's where, you know, I got to know you, probably where he got to know you too. So would you say that mid-90s, or maybe I'll ask you, I'm not going to try and put words in your mouth, when do you think In BC or Canada even, when do you think the heyday of the game was?
Well, it had to have been the mid-80s when Pay Impact was basically ISC, ASA, Olympic Sports Festival champs, and Victoria Royals and Payless. That era would have been the, you know, the biggest producing teams of that time would have been those two teams.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some big, but, that was when the Norwest League had both national champions in it, and we've talked to Smitty a little bit about that too when he was on. But yeah, I can't imagine what it was like then. I mean, we got into it mid '90s, and it was the Norwest League was still probably one of the most dominant leagues.
Well, it was great when you guys were there too, because like the Ravens, which was Regents, turned into Ravens. That team was the fourth best team in the world, I think, at one point. And the unfortunate thing is they went and got rid of their catcher, and and Rick Elias couldn't, with his knees and everything, couldn't do it. And you got Dino and Price, who throwing the shit out of the ball, but learning the game, and no experienced catcher. So that's the only downfall to the Ravens was that. And had they had a good catcher, God knows how far they could have went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Penner went off to Victoria at that time, right?
Yeah, that's right. If you could have kept him, you guys would have gone a lot further, but you had great players in every position, like Zomar and Terry Weeb and Hermson and Zig Voth and Hereford in the outfield with Peckell and you and Price pitching. I mean, and Price and both of you, that's probably the best two pitchers on one team ever in the history of the game for hitting. Like I don't think there's ever been two pitchers together at one time that hit better than you two guys. And that's the honest to God's truth. I really can't think of another two.
We didn't really need a DH spot on that squad. We were usually always hitting.
No, that's for sure. Yeah. You guys were great hitters already, but both, still learning how to be great pitchers. That was the thing. But you had so much talent on that team; it was unbelievable. But it was a great team. And I almost went to Japan with you guys through Terry Weeb, but I couldn't get my passport in time. And that would have been a rush to go over there.
Yeah, it was an amazing trip. Not to make you feel bad. You know, it would have been nice. It would have been nice that year if we would have had a batting glove sponsor, because that you brought his name up, but Jeff Hereford was on that team, and Herfy, we always talk about Herfy. I think he went through about 40 or 50 batting gloves a year.
Wow.
Because anytime he struck out, he would rip them off. He literally ripped them right off.
Without undoing the Velcro.
No. Yeah. Like it was.
Yeah, he was an intense player, all right.
Yeah, he had.
But yeah, I've been to Japan once. My wife's from there, so I did go there a bunch of years after that tournament you guys went there, but it would have been great to go there when you and Regents and Seattle, or Ravens and Seattle, were there at the same time. That would have been a rush for sure.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, though, talking about pitchers that hit the ball hard, like Dino, and we'll pump Dino's tires Well, it's not like it's a secret. Yeah. He hit the ball hard.
Yeah.
But you can afford to use your DP on a good catcher who maybe can't hit very well. We're not going to pick on anyone else who maybe is a twos instructor, but we've got one in our group who's a better hitter today than he was probably in his prime, but calls a great game, great defensively. So if you can afford the luxury of letting your pitcher swing and then defensively just have a center fielder or a catcher who can bring it defensively and not kill you with his bat, that's a great position to be in, Dean. So good for you for being that trailblazer in that aspect.
Thanks, Donnie.
Yeah, nod. Dino goes down in the top six of all time pitcher hitters, but I would have to, the best one would have been Brad Underwood, and then probably Mark Smith, and then Dino in there with Middleton and Cowdery and Jody Henniger.
Yeah, those
that would have been my list as the best hitting pitchers that I've seen.
Well, you can't. I would also say, if you had all those guys on the same team, you'd have a shortstop, you'd have a second baseman. Like,
oh,
that's those are the
look at that.
Those are the Wow. Easier positions to play, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to give a plug for one of my current teammates who's a hit, who hits the ball real hard and pitch as well, and it's Pat Burns. He's a great athlete, can steal bags, plays the outfield, but he's in the lineup every day, whether he's pitching or not. He hits the ball a ton. Wow. So he might be one of the better ones now.
Nowadays, yep.
Now, I'm talking the days gone by. Yes, Pat Burns is probably one of the top 10 players in the world easily, and he could get even into the top three or four, in my opinion. Burns is an incredible player and a great guy, too.
He is, yeah. He's a great guy. So hope you're listening, Patty, because we're pumping your tires a bit on the cast. But I know having played against him a few times and now he's on our team, even warming him up in a night game is a terrifying ordeal. It's brutal. His ball really flies at night, for sure.
Yeah, I bet, Donnie. Well, he's got to be one of the hardest throwers in the game, if not maybe even the hardest.
He's pushing the limit, that's for
sure. Yeah, it's pretty. I ask him to take it easy on me. You don't need to throw all your juice and warm-ups, bud. Save that for the mound. You just get it nice and easy to my chest here.
Hey, Dougie, so as we finish up pumping Dino's tires here, we want to talk about some of the parks that you've been to. We ask all of our guests, kind of the former players, what their favorite park is. Where rattle off a few of your favorite parks.
Can you rank your top 19, please?
The favorite, obviously, because I can't help but be a homer, is South Memorial, South Hill. That's my number one favorite park. And after that, I would have to say Royal Athletic would have been number two. And Kimberley's in there. And Coke Park, New Zealand would be in there. And Salt Lake City was awful nice, Cottonwood Complex. And Denmark was cool. That was pretty special in 2019. That was a great
Circle
atmosphere.
Yep.
Kitchener was decent too. But Royal Athletic, there's no park in the world that had the atmosphere of that place when it was alive and well. And as you know, Tosh, you got luckily to play there, and that's Canada's best organization all time in my books. There's not a city that's produced that many winners in the lifetime of softball, whether that be Rempel Brothers or All-O-Matics or Owen Sound Tiremen or Toronto Gators, like all of those teams, Camrose, Alberta Break and Clutch, the Victoria Payless Legends, Royals, Budget, Bates. That's where the history is, and so much great ball players came out of there. Like in Tosh's situation, you start with Bob Holness as the shortstop, and then it goes to John Green, and then it goes to Anthony Pettoria, and then it goes to Bobrovsky briefly, and then Tosh comes in, and Marty Steen after that. It's just, when I see Marty Steen play, I thought, oh, there's a young David Boies right there.
He even looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the tools in the book, but Victoria, I used to go over five times a year to watch there and then get off that ferry, and I feel the adrenaline running through my body, go into the park, and I'd watch a little bit at the Stuffy McGinnis if it was on, and then head in there, and it was just like give you chills going to that park and watching. And then, of course, Payless, they had no mercy on anybody. They always tried to beat the crap out of everybody. But the talent on that team, it's just history of great players. And it was a tradition. And, they drew the people to watch, and the fans. If you were on the opposition team and you did a good play, they would cheer you, but they would also razz the shit out of you too. So they were a great place. And Queen's Park, I can't forget about Queen's Park. They had some incredible tournaments there with the Challenge Cups back when the Grand Prairie Pride were just actually becoming a team with John Mulca and them, and the O'Brien boys were young, and Ryan Brand and that fighter Bob, the guy, and Godry was there, and Ronnie Head. They had a good squad, but they, unfortunately, they had to play against so many other great teams. But I don't doubt for a second Sean O'Brien learned how to become a good player playing in the Norwest League.
Right. Yeah, when we had him on our cast, he actually mentioned that, you know, going to Grand Prairie was early in his career, and it was something that he definitely got to learn from, you know, some of the pitchers he caught, but even obviously some of the players that he played against in that league.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Go back.
Paddy Mac was on that team too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. Sure was.
Go back a second. I know all three of us have played in Camrose. Kintoog was a great park too, and it was right full of people. The atmosphere is good. The little hill off the in hill. Left field. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Camrose, you know, I mean, even in all my junior days, that town really supported their ball. Like they came out, same thing. They would cheer a good play by the other team, but they sure wanted their home team to win, and they got pretty loud, pretty well represented in Camrose too. Not a park that gets enough credit, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I never got to get to Camrose. There was so much ball in the Vancouver area and Victoria. You're not going to believe this, but a couple of killer whales are going by right now. Yeah, this job site I work at is right in Nanaimo on the ocean, and probably about six times a year you see killer whales or the other whales go by. We got tons of eagles all the time, and seals and sea lions. Like there's been up to 500 sea lions on the log booms all at one time, and crazy.
I was just gonna say, Dougie, like most of us, we go squirrel, you go killer whale.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. The type of work I do is I run a little boom boat, and it rocks and it spins in a, you know, like I don't know if Dino ever seen them on the Fraser River in his days in the lower mainland living, but these things are quite powerful. They're like a small tugboat, but they can turn a 360. And I always said to Jimmy Moore, if I could pitch, or if I knew how to pitch as good as I knew how to run one of these boats, Jimmy, I'd be as good as you. And I just wish that was the case. I wish I was a shitty boat operator and a good pitcher, but unfortunately I was only given so many gifts, and that pitching and senior A ball wasn't one of them.
Oh. Well, it's a pretty short list, to be honest. I'm a bad boat driver too, if that makes it feel any better. So you got that going for you. Do you want to talk about? So you've probably seen as much ball as anyone who listens to the cast or who's in this room right now, which is quite a bit. But you want to talk about maybe some of the all-time best teams you've seen or best players by position a little bit. Some people that stood out, some highlights.
Yeah, this has got to be people that I've seen, because it's hard to judge a Ty Stoplet when I seen him when he was 50 and 52. And so, you know, it, like as far as teams go, honest to God, Pay and Pack was the best team I ever seen play. And I say that because no team in the 80s won that many ASAs and ISCs. And they literally didn't go in the ISCs until the mid 80s. And when they did go in the ISCs, they won it the first year they were in it. And, you know, like Jimmy Moore was obviously like, what's that guy for Chicago Cubs that pitches?
Maddox?
There was one guy for the Cubs that was a great pitcher. He pitched in Atlanta, too. And
Maddox.
Greg Maddox.
That guy, that's like Jimmy Moore. He could hit the dick off a hummingbird with his pitches. He, you know, like, I'm serious. That guy was an incredible thrower, and just pinpoint accuracy. Didn't have the heat of some of the other guys, but he was a lot like Robbie Ginther, where he would just, you know, finesse, you know, total finesse. And but Pay and Pack, they had the best manager to ever manage the game, and Tom Wagner, and his winning percentages is phenomenal. And there's not a player on the U.S. national team in the 80s that wouldn't tell you he was the best, too. So it's not just what I've seen, what I've heard also over the years. And they, you know, Bill Boyer was on that team, and Randy Burnside, and Bruce Beard, and Chad Corcoran, and Tim Wall. Tim Wall was just a kid when I first started watching him play on Pay and Pack, and he was backing up as a catcher, and they had one of these guys, Butch Batt was teaching all those guys how to be good catchers, and he was the Seattle Bob Burrows is what he was.
Wow.
And, you know, and Bob Burrows, I never got to really watch him too much in Victoria because he was a little bit before I knew who everybody was. But when I sat at South Memorial Park and Pay and Pack came through that gate, I knew I was in for a treat, and I knew we weren't winning. And honest to God, I don't think the Magicians beat Pay Impact once in Vancouver before Zach showed up, and I don't think the Magicians beat Victoria Payless once in all those years too before Zach showed up. It was those two teams were so good, like the Payless and the Pay Impact, and so Pay Impact would definitely be my number one pick. And you know, I don't know how many Hall of Famers come out of that team in the ISCs or the ASAs. There's got to be about 10 of them at least. And also, you know, like Chad Corcoran, there's the best shortstop I ever seen. And he played for Camarola Kings before that and 1 year with the farm where you guys played also. And he was magic to watch. And John Green was incredible in Victoria also, did a little bit different game with the home run power and just a fantastic arm and stuff and, you know, incredible ball player. But Corcoran did unbelievable plays. There was one play, Pay Impact was in Vancouver, and Bob Storino, the second baseman for the Pack, he was flat out on his gut. The ball was going between his glove and the base, and he knocked it down, and Corcoran had no play at first, but he come running across, and Storino flipped it straight up in the air, and Corcoran palmed it to first base. And it's just like, wow, you know. And Boyer, the play in center field one game, the ball's leaving the park, and Boyer is in the middle center field, high up on the fence. His feet have got to be 2.5 feet off the ground. He makes the catch. The fence bounces backwards because it all had a lot of flex in those days. And the ball's coming in all in one motion, and it's just like, there, you know, there's the best player ever in the world that I ever seen. And he did it all. He slapped the ball. He bunted it. He hit home runs. He stole bases. He made the most incredible catches. The only downside is he didn't have a rocket for an arm out there. But
well, talking about that team, Dougie, like that's kind of part of, like, I mean, I went out to the coast to play, I heard all the legends about Seattle, and I mean, I even had an opportunity to play with them, you know, in the mid-90s.
You did play with them.
Yeah, but I mean, that was obviously not the era that you're talking about.
No.
But they were known for their speed and base stealing, and it just seemed like everybody could run. Touch a little bit on, because I mean, you went through that. You got to see teams that operated a little bit differently. You had somebody that could run at the beginning. You knew your number two guy could bunt. You know, probably your best hitter was three. You know, your power was 4, 5, 6. You know, and then you get to the bottom of the order, you're going to have maybe a couple of defensive guys that are wizards, and then usually your nine is your pre-leadoff guy. That was kind of how, you know, and pitchers, you know, you looked at it back then, they had a couple opportunities to maybe pitch around different people. Nowadays, it's a little bit different. Everybody's hitting bombs. You know, it's almost, bunting is almost out of it.
It's definitely different eras, Dean. You know, like, there's no question. You know, like, Ryan Boland asked me, he says, you know, are we as good as those guys back in those days? And I go, yeah, you guys are damn good too. You know, like, it's a great game, no matter what era it is. And you know, like, you see all these guys play, and then, of course, nowadays, the levels, the amount of pitchers there is so much less than when, you know, the 80s and the early 90s, because there was just, you know, phenomenal amounts of great pitchers around in those days. But the ball is still incredible to watch nowadays, and I went to the last two ISCs, and, you know, I couldn't have enjoyed them more. And, like, Donnie's team, if they had Scott Life pitching for them in Denmark, they could have been in the top four. That, like, I'm just using him as an example, because they had Zippy and Richie, and then young Potskin just ripped the place up with RBIs, set the record for RBIs in the ISCs, not the record, but that year. But yeah, no, Grand Prairie, a lot of talent, and just lacking that one main guy to pitch, like a Burns or a Scott Life or something. But
so do you think, Doug? Sorry, Doug. I was just going to say, do you think then, like, because, you know, the debate is always going to be between eras, like what era was better, what players were better. You know, you see it in hockey all the time. You know, now we can talk about it in our game.
Well,
would it be a situation where, and this is me looking at it now, you know, you're talking about all these great teams and great players and everybody had a pitcher and that sort of thing. I think that the top teams right now could compete, you know, back in the 80s. It's just there were more teams, more top teams in the 80s.
There were more teams. Like you know, and no offense to Grand Prairie, but even today's Grand Prairie team, as good as they are with a Scott Life, they wouldn't have beat Victoria in those days, and whether it was your Legends team or the Payless team or the Pay Impact team, those teams were stacked in those days. Like those players don't come around every day. And as good as, I can't even pronounce their last names, but the two brothers, the catcher and the center fielder, they're great players on Grand Prairie. You know, they're big boys. And Scott Niehi's dad used to play in Moody Park, and you know his dad was a great player too. Robbie Niehi, probably played against him, Dean.
Speaking of big boys, Scott Niehi, yeah, those are the Arcan brothers.
Those guys are awesome ball players.
That's great, yeah.
You know the Williams guy and Corey Jones, and you know there's, and Richie of course, and there's just tons of talent on those teams. But Victoria, when you were there, Tosh, that friggin' team was stacked. There was like all world players throughout that lineup, and then three of them went to the Ravens, and then the Ravens were better than Victoria. So, you know, that's how good the Ravens were when Dean and Price were pitching there. Those guys,
I agree completely, Doug.
Yeah,
no, they
were.
I'm serious,
no, they were a better team than us. Except when it counted.
Hold on. We waited till 31:50 for the first time. Tosh got on Dino for a burn, so that's later in the cast than usual.
Yeah.
So the only thing I wanted to bring up is you make a good point. Like, yeah, our Grand Prairie team is really good. I think the only team that I think we could all probably agree that would compete very well back then would be the Newfoundland team. That's won, you know, 7 out of 8 mm-hmm. nationals. That team stacked top to bottom, great arms, great hitters all throughout.
Except for in the Canadians, Cleary wasn't there, and the Souk Loggers or the Grand Prairie could have won that team. But then you got Bloody Brad and Blair and Mullally and Hill. You know, it's
Boland.
Those guys got the
Boland's
of course, yeah, they got the experience, and but I mean, you know, the whole infield for the Loggers was Mason, Velushka, Avery, and Hunter. I mean, it's hard to beat that.
That's a really good team. You know, when we were in Grand Prairie hosting, they took it to Patty a little bit off the hop, and then Richie came in, and it was a tie game, and they actually walked us off with a home run. I think one of the Ezekiels hit a home run to end it. But we felt still, if we win that game, there's a good chance we win nationals. But that Newfoundland team, when they get in a roll, they're pretty tough to contain.
Well, they got the experience. They got the killer instinct, and that's what they did to the Loggers, unfortunately. I was cheering for the Loggers, and, you know, before I forget, you know, that goes back to Souk 2 years ago, well, 2018. Scott Life says to me, he says, Doug, you're going to the ISCs this year. And I go, I wished. He says, I can get you a ticket. And I'm looking at him in disbelief. What do you mean you can get me a ticket? He says, I can get you a flight. And I go, what do I got to do, be your bitch or something? And he says, no, just wear the Kitchener hat and cheer us on. I says, I'll be your friggin' bat boy in my underwear if you get me a flight to Ontario. And so he says, get a hold of me, and I do. And the next thing you know, he says, would you rather go to the Nationals in Nova Scotia or go to Kitchener? I says, I've wanted to go to Nova Scotia for 30 years, but I'd rather go to Kitchener because I know about 86 players, but most of them are in the Masters now. And he says, okay, I'll book your flight. He comes back. He says, I can do both. I'm falling off my chair. You can do both. He says, Chad Bryden's paying your flight to Nova Scotia. I'm like doing cartwheels in my house and in disbelief. And then last year, 2019, I win $5,000 of the Souk Loggers 50-50 draw. and off to the Nationals I go.
No way.
That's awesome.
I paid to go to Green Bay, but I didn't pay to go to Grand Prairie, and I didn't pay to go to Nova Scotia or Kitchener, and it was like my first ISCs since Victoria, so I was like so pumped up to watch it again, but it was...
Well, if anybody deserved to win it would have been somebody like you, Doug, so that's awesome.
Oh, thanks. But Scott Life, I just couldn't believe he did that for me, and I was just like, wow, man, it's just... It almost makes me cry right now. I'm sorry, but it just, I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't go to all these tournaments before other than locally. And, you know, and I'd go to any ballpark I could go to if I could, you know, so it's, it was a rush to be able to go back to the ISCs after all those years. And it's the greatest tournament in the world, without a doubt.
So let's go back for a second, because you made a comment then I laughed, and I wrote it down, actually, and I've never heard this used before, and it's great. We probably can't use it very often, but hit the dick off a hummingbird, as to say if someone's hitting spots. Who would you say right now is the pitcher that could hit the dick off a hummingbird? It's the last time I'll say it.
Well, I don't think it would be Folkard, but he's still awful good, and... you know, and I don't think it could be Scott Life. He's awful good, too. And Cleary's awful good. I'm just trying to think of the most controlled pitcher out there right now, because that's a tough thing to have full control of every pitch. And that's what Jimmy Moore had.
They
and
were
that's
better.
What Robbie...
Yeah.
They were better. That? They were better. Yeah. I'll say it. They were better at that. I really think they were.
Yeah, Robbie Ginther was incredible, too. He had amazing... control also, and those two would come out, but trying to think of somebody now, it's real tough. Maybe that Lucas Matta's younger brother Hamal, maybe, you know, he was pretty damn good. And or Kirkpatrick's awful good too, you know, like they're... I think he could be the best player in the game today, actually, is Kirkpatrick.
Pretty good,
because he does it all.
Pretty good, you know, estimate there. Yeah.
He would go into the hitter pitcher category with you and Henniger and Smith and Underwood and stuff like that. But you know, Kirkpatrick doesn't look overwhelming when he pitches, but
he gets on you in a hurry. He might not break 80. I don't know what he tops, but it looks like it's 90 when it's coming in.
Yeah,
there,
I was going to say, I disagree 100% standing in there. He looks like he's standing right on top of you.
Yeah.
And he comes off pretty wild, and it's not a great experience. You brought up Mata, though. I think Mata might be in that chat, too, about a pitcher who rakes the ball pretty hard.
Older brother.
No, the yeah.
I know, but
yeah.
Lucas,
no, the younger one.
Lucas was amazing Lucas was at hitting good, spots.
Yeah.
He could throw... you know, 21 outs with a drop ball. He was just amazing.
So do you guys think then, like, if we're talking about the pitching and the preciseness, like, you know, we talk about, you know, you talk about Jimmy Moore, you talk about Robbie Ginter, you talk about Glenn Jevney.
Michael White.
Okay, those were kind of the surgeons, right? They were pitchers, quote-unquote pitchers. Do you think
They were the Maddoxes.
Yeah. Do you think now the game has come, it's not so much of, as Donnie says, hitting the dick off the hummingbird. They're just trying to throw it through the hummingbird, right?
That was a Dougie line, not a Donnie line.
Yeah,
I'm not taking
credit.
But
I think that's what it's come to, because I know we see it, even if we go back to our girls' program, it's all about how hard am I throwing it? Yet Dino has been preaching, you know, since the beginning of our program, that it's spins and spots. The speed will come, but if you can put it wherever you want, you're going to get a bunch of outs. Do you think then the game has changed, Dougie, you know, because you've seen it all the way across the gamut.
Yeah.
Do you think that the game has become more of a power game in the circle? Because I think it's become more of a power game
everywhere.
In the rectangle, right? I think in the batter's box, with the way the bats are now, and, you know, balls are flying out, and, you know, like, and if you really think about it, the parks have never changed. Well, the equipment has changed, so the bats have gotten better, the balls are flying, but the fence is still where it was 40 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and the thing I think, too, is the batters nowadays with the bats and stuff, and they see these guys more often, whereas when you guys played, there was more pitchers around. I mean, if you look in the ISC record book, there's like 8 guys in there that pitched on the farm. You know, you start Todd Martin with 42 wins, and then Elgar and Guru had 40, and Dino had 36 in there with Underwood and Frank Cox. I think he's tied with them. And then you got Swire in there and Scheller in there. It's just, it's amazing the people that pitched on the farm, like how many great throwers of yesteryear. And there's not that many around nowadays. Like, it's more countries now where you got your Folkard and your Kirkpatricks, and there's a young Peters guy out of Australia and New Zealand.
Harry.
You know, they don't have the Tangaroas and the Merediths and the Whites and the, you know, the Graham Robinsons and Eric Wilsons. There's another pitcher hitter that was quite good too, was Eric Wilson. But yeah, it's I wouldn't call it watered down, but it would just not be as many greats as there was in your guys' era.
I think another comparison to when we're looking at eras is science has changed the game. And I mean, we might just say, you know, we always joke about it as pitchers, like, okay, bats are so good now, balls are flying out of the park. But we have video, we have, you know, guys yeah. nowadays, like you look at the guys on the national team, they know exactly what their swing does. And I'm not saying guys in the 70s and 80s didn't. I'm just saying I remember over and over people saying, come on, guys, got to roll those wrists over. Like, yeah, we definitely, yeah. it's a joke now, right? We don't roll our wrists over, but, you know, things change. We get better. We get to learn the position, whether it's pitching, hitting, whatever it is, we get a lot better at it.
Well, I mean, we talked about, like, Mark Sorensen, for example. We had him on the cast. He had a black book on every pitcher he's ever faced, and that, I guess, would be the beginning of video study to try and see what a pitcher's habits and tendencies are. He did that 30 years before anyone even considered video, so that's probably why he was as good as he was, or part one of the reasons, I guess.
Mark was one of the top three players in the world, no question, especially in the batting. And that pitcher that you guys were trying to think about when you had him on, that feet cloak guy out of Illinois, that guy threw lots of junk. Then Mark, just that's the only guy he couldn't hit him. I asked Mark once who was the toughest pitcher he faced, and he goes, you know, like, out of the good ones? I go, yeah, out of the good ones. He said, none of them. You know, that's how confident he was. Yeah. I watched Mark Sorensen when he was 16 years old, my first trip to New Zealand, 1984, and it was McGann against Steve Jackson in the final of the Hutt Valley 10,000. And I met Mark Smith there. He was playing for Metro Brothers, and he was leaving to go home that weekend. He quit the team, I believe. You can tell him that later on today. And so he was leaving to go back to Canada, but he was playing for Auckland Metro, the same team Terry Bell and Scheller played for. And, you know, they were Bob Versluis played for Auckland Metro. As a matter of fact, I got him on that team the year he played down there. But, yeah, I guess you both played with Versluis, eh?
Bob Versluis.
Sure did.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, in Victoria and in the Regents group there.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
But, yeah, I thought some of his best days were in black and orange, but whatever. Yep.
I digress.
Yeah, Bob actually, he was there like 1989 with the Regents when they were first coming up to Senior A ball. Straight out of Squamish, and he stuck it out. He was catching, played shortstop back in those days. And
am I dreaming, but, or yeah, was he a Prairie Boy at first? Did he move
he
out there?
I
thought he was from Saskatoon, I might even want to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know he lived in Squamish when I knew him. And that basically, Squamish produced Versluis, Richie Tetzloff that played for the Ravens, Calum Gardner, and John Stewart and Doug Allen. Well, he's from Campbell River, but he played up in Squamish also, too. Speaking of Allen and Stewart, Johnny Stewart phones me up one day. He says, can I try out for your Vancouver Thunderbirds team? I go, try out? You're on the team. He commutes from Squamish to Vancouver for practices in February on a gravel field in a high school, and stayed with us for 3 years until we went to Victoria to the Stuffy McGinnis tournament and went up against Guru's Money Mart team. And we had Kelly Olson with us for the weekend, Dougie Allen, and Wayne King Jr. And Wayne King basically, we ended up pitching him. Kelly wanted no part of the ball, and Doug Allen wanted it in the worst way, but we knew he was going to get killed. So we knew we were going to get killed, so we gave it to King. We lost 8-1. Elias hit two bombs. Harvey Jr. hit a bomb. I think Gardner hit one. Scotty Evans hit one. And Bobrovsky, I don't know, think he was there, but
quite a squad.
Hermsen was there. That's the best junior team I've ever seen, I think ever in the history of junior ball in Canada.
Oh, geez. I can't believe we didn't get a reaction out of the chair over here. Like, Mr. I was the Liners bat boy forever and ever, and I love those guys, and they're my favorites.
Nothing. No reaction to
I was told to stop talking about the Liners as much.
You said Patty Mac.
Yeah. So I'm just going to smile and nod. And anyone who's been around the game knows that that's a pretty good club.
Hey, Dougie, we were sitting around here before we had you on, and we were talking about, you know, some of the tournaments back in the days. And I'm going to throw some at you here. And I know, you know, you've been to some, you haven't been to others, but tell me if I'm missing some of the big tournaments off this list. I'm just going to rattle through this list. So Orillia had a big tournament. Moncton, Ontario had a big tournament.
Yeah.
The Perth Shootout. Boys of Summer is still going. The World Series of Softball, or Fastball, I guess, in Camrose. Pioneer Days. Lloyd had the Tournament of Champions. Kelowna's always had that May-long weekend tournament forever.
Richie's tournament there, which is awesome.
Yeah, and it's been going for forever. So are there any other tournaments that I maybe missed here?
Seattle Invite.
Right, yep.
And of course, Cliff's tournaments.
Yeah.
Most awesome sponsor, Cliff and Regis.
Cliff and Kathy,
and Raven.
Yep.
The challenges that he had there were I've never been to a tournament where there was better teams all at one tournament. There might have been at the Perth Shootout and that, but I never got to go to those. Mm-hmm. But the also the Peace Arch tournament was awful good.
Yeah,
that was another one. And Victoria used to have Super Series all the time that were quite good. But those would be definitely good ones. Pioneer Days was a good tournament. I went to that about five times after the 92 ISCs when Zach came into his own down there for the Magicians. But Victoria lost in the final to NHCD, which was, you know, so stacked.
Yeah.
And Victoria had a great team too, but unfortunately they lost to the money team in that tournament.
Hey, I got a question for you, Dougie. We've always kind of joked about my memory. So this is your opportunity to be our fact checker. If you've had, I know you've listened to some of the podcasts, is there anything out there that we've kind of messed up on here that we should be maybe correcting? Do you have any of those little nuggets available?
No, I can't really. So that you guys couldn't get all the Team Canada guys with Tilly and Kernaghan.
Colonel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, but yeah, I mean, I was telling Terry Bader all the names and he was quite amazed that I knew them all, but that was that was an unbelievable team, that 92 team. You know, you got Kernaghan at third and Weeb at short, and you got Adam at second and Clarkson at first and Petkel and what do you call it, Brian Patton in the outfield, and you got Bell, you got Pieknik and Zach, and then you got Henniger and Mark Smith on that team too.
Wow.
And so they had five guys that could pitch on that team, but of course Mark and Jody didn't have to do much pitching probably, but their bats came through when it mattered against New Zealand in that final. I think it was 5-3. They beat the Kiwis and beat Chubb, but Tilly, you know, there's another great player. And you know, so, and then Chase was there catching, and then Clark Bosch, which I haven't heard his name in a lot of years.
Yep.
He was on that team too, and he played for the Gators, plus he played for, I believe, Alberta Break and Clutch, and he might have played in Saskatoon also. I'm just not sure on that one.
Played in Camrose when we hosted Nationals in 91 too.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a school teacher from Lethbridge, Alberta, I believe.
Yep. I got a question for you, and it's a fact check, and it's one of these ones where Dino's memory has lapsed a few times because you made reference to it, and so did Bill Todhunter. It was actually it caused quite a stir. So we talked about when Z went on his run in 95. And,
yep.
And the Gators lost their first game. And who was Dean playing
Ravens.
For? There you go. Yeah. Wasn't Seattle. Yeah,
know,
it wasn't
I know.
Seattle.
I confused a couple years there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was confusing the year where Bell and I both played with Seattle. Right. Where was that?
Yeah.
Where was that?
That
would have
been
Sioux City.
No, that would have been later.
No,
that
Kimberly.
Would have been
Kimberly, because I remember
that was in Kimberly.
T took one off the kneecap and it was an ugly one.
Yep. Yeah, that was in Sioux City in 95, and that would have been your first year in Vancouver.
Yep, that's correct.
No, 94,
that's correct.
The Ravens.
That's correct, fellas. You are correct. You got it right. Just backing you up. You got it right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ravens were the only team to beat the Gators that year.
Yep.
Yeah, so Zach's got
us
to thank.
You were pitching, weren't you, Dean?
I did, yeah, and again, maybe you know this, but I can't quite remember. I keep saying the same thing, but I think after about three pitches, it was 2-0 for those guys. It didn't start very well. I want to say Patton hit one off the wall, and then I think maybe Adam Smith hit one out. I can't remember, but it didn't start very well. And then we just stuck into it. And sometimes those games happen, right? Like where you jump out on somebody a little early, and you kind of think the game's going to get out of control, and then as the game gets deep and they made a couple errors or they did something they shouldn't have done. I think they threw one down the line and we ended up getting ahead, and then we ended up winning it 3-2, but it definitely fueled those guys because they went on a run like no other.
I mean, Zach, 69 and two-thirds innings without allowing a run and 150K, and he phoned me up and he said, "Dougie, you lied to me," and I'm thinking, uh-oh, what did I say? And he says, "You said my strikeout record would never be broken until we're old men." And I said, "You're right, Z, I did say that, but I didn't think you would break the bloody thing." And that was the one from Salt Lake in 136K.
93.
And he had seven wins, two losses. His only two losses, well, one was to Victoria in 13 innings, and the other one was to Sioux City, I believe, 5-3. And they were up on that game, and then Zach threw one to Rick McGrath at third base, and all hell broke loose, and then Timmy hit one out, and end of story. But that was a hell of a run in Salt Lake City. The seven wins, two losses. They beat everybody, and that little Scotty Mitchell got a hit off of absolutely everybody: Pieknik, Meredith, Graham Robinson, Ty Stofflet, Jim Cowdery, Chubb Tangaroa. He got hits off all those guys in 1992 in Salt Lake City as a rookie.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, but that was one of the best plays in that game down there. Porteous said they should have kept them at third. He was playing for Magicians that weekend. Verzlus was too, and Verzlus got a triple off of Pieknik into the right field corner, and the ball was tailing, and Chase was playing right field. He runs the ball down, turns and throws to Bob Cort, who throws to Fratelli, and Mitchell sent him from third base with none out because Pieknik was striking everybody out, and so was Zach, and they gunned him out at home, and it was they ended up losing that game 2-1 in 13 innings, but it was just an unbelievable game that I seen that night. But Victoria was so good. I mean, Daryl Clarkson, one of the best players that I ever seen play. And he comes by my job site once in a while here with his fuel truck. He works for a Petro-Can. That guy was an unbelievable
scary hitter.
Player. You played a little with him, eh, Tosh?
He had retired when I got there in 95, and then we had Herphy was injured, and we had one more injury, and we put him on our ISC roster, right? And we were playing maybe the first game or the second game, the ISC, can't remember who we were playing, and they put DC in to pinch hit, and he hit the first pitch out. It was his first at bat in the ISC, and I don't know how many, and the place went absolutely bonkers, right? Because that's just the living legend, right?
He was a legend. He was a great, great player. Didn't play a lot of ISCs, that sort of thing, but he was something else. He was top five in the world in his prime, no question.
For sure.
But yeah, no, DC is, he was like a hockey player on the ice, on the field. That's the way he kind of played,
yeah.
You know, sliding and stuff like that. But Darryl Clarkson's on my first base all best players I ever seen list.
Why don't we quickly go around the horn on that, Dougie?
Okay. I love Z more than anything, but Meredith's the best pitcher I ever seen play in his prime.
Yep.
And the reason I say this is Pete's got 60 ISC wins to Michael White 70. He always played on offensively challenged teams, Salt Lake, Transair, the farm, especially when he was first with the farm. Wasn't until you guys got there that you had some good offense on the team and in 97 when they beat the Legends. But Meredith probably has lost more 1-0 games and won more 1-0 games than any pitcher in the game. And had he played on NHCD or a team like that, I don't think he would have lost a game.
Yeah.
And he did win in 88 for the Americans in the ISFs.
That's right, in Saskatoon.
And, and I watched him in New Zealand basically beat the Marist, Dean Rice, and Chubb Tangaroa, Steve Jackson's team. He beat Jackson and Tangaroa in those games. But he just had the velocity, and, you know, he didn't have all the great change-ups that Z-Man had and stuff, but he just threw the gas. But a guy like Brian Patton said to me, I liked hitting off of Meredith, but Patton, I mean, he was one of a kind, too, and he was the second-best outfielder I ever seen play after Boyer.
So you got, hold on here. We got to get around the horn here. So you got Meredith with great rise ball. Who's he throwing to?
He's throwing to Timmy Wall.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you talked. Okay, so you got DC at one, right?
Yeah.
Who's playing second?
Second base, got to go with Adam Smith.
Good call. Shortstop.
Chad Corcoran.
Yeah, real good call. And we didn't talk about him a whole lot, but he's the guy that kind of brought slapping to the guys' game, right?
Oh, he invented it in New Zealand.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where Dean Rice and those guys got it from.
Yep. Third base.
Marty Kernaghan.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Marty Kearney's
all right.
Yeah. Center field, you got Boyer. Who are the bookends?
I got basically Brian Patton, of course, was right there. And I really tossed and turned about the third one for a long time, but I had to kind of go with Colin Abbott.
Nice.
Okay,
he's the newest generation.
I would take Colin Abbott, too, but I put him in the DP role. I know
what you're saying there. You know, like he wasn't the, you know, the greatest runner out there, but he always seemed to get to the place when he needed to.
He didn't make, I said this on a prior cast, he didn't make a mistake in the outfield. He didn't get to as many balls as everybody else, but he didn't make a mistake. So
when you hit like that, you can take up
that's
some
right.
defensive
no, you know, line. That's a pretty good team, Dougie. And we did this earlier on. We started this cast, and those were names that were pretty much
around
everybody's list. So.
Yeah, and I give Sorensen the DH role.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hard to argue with that, too.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team.
You know, I was tossing and turning with Jody and Dino and,
You
know, people like that and Jared Martin and, you know, but then, you know, Jared Martin was a little bit later and, you know, so he was 20 when I first seen him play with NHCD, but he just rolled the pine with those guys.
Right,
yeah.
Like
even
Sanofsky, when I talked to him, he says, oh, I'm just here for extra depth and, you know, Colonel brought me out for that kind of thing. But he, you know, he was at the end of his career, but there's another player too. But, you know, like my favorite pitchers though, you know, obviously Zach and Chubb and Pieknik and Meredith and Jimmy Moore and probably Whitey, you know, like they're all right there.
It's pretty hard to compare.
They were all quite incredible players.
Well, Doug, honestly, we're at an hour, which flew by, which we knew it would. So we want to get into the parting shots segment. You get to go last.
Okay.
But I want to start. Dino, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Please.
We've had a few criers on the show. Mm. You know, we've just added another one, Dougie. You're on that list. All right. But you know what? We know it's because you love this game so much. And I mean, the fact that you get to go on, you know, you got to go on a couple trips because, you know, people realize how special you are and how special people like you are. We need fans. We need people that just love the game. And you're definitely one of them. And I can't think of anybody else, you know. I mean, I got a couple. There's a couple. Marge in Ontario, mm-hmm. right? She loves the game. But obviously, just teasing you about crying, we've had a few criers. Razor, who else mm-hmm. cried? Peter.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
Labardius.
Pete, yeah, what a great guy. That's another super
but
fan.
But again, it's all, if you think about it, it's because you're passionate, you love the game, and hard to knock you on that, but I kind of have to. Thanks for coming on the show, Dougie. You're always a treat to talk to. Whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, you're rattling through names, and it's just, it's always a trip down memory lane. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and thanks for all the memories, Dino.
You're very welcome. So I'm going to go next. Usually I go to Tosh, but you kind of brought up mine in the intro. I kind of got to know you a little bit through Richie Haldane at Mayday's tournaments, and I remember the talk around the tent and around the backstop was that there was a chance, you know, how many ICs you've been to, nationals, big tournaments, and that this year you weren't going to be able to go. And I want to say that's when you won that 50-50, and then suddenly it was like made in the written in the stars that, hey, it was meant to be, and you got to go to this tournament. And I think that's an amazing story. If you ever wonder how to be a super fan, you can look up either Peter Labardius or Doug Roberts. I mean, the knowledge you have and the remembering of stats and names and dates. We need you for Dino only for fact-checking his own career. So if we need to fact check Dino's career, we'll give you a call.
Actually, what we could do is, Dougie, and I know you listen to all the casts, right? And you've sent us notes, and what you need to do is you need to listen to these podcasts. And if one of us goes on the wrong side of a memory, I think you need to shoot us a text as soon as you hear it, right? And then we can make that correction in the next cast. So you will be the official fact checker of Two's Talk.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds cool.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. My turn?
Yes, please.
You know what? It's weird. Have I ever not taken a shot? I don't know if I'm not taking one at Dougie, obviously, because he, you know, and I already took one at my partner over here because he, you know, he kept saying Seattle beat, you know, and I knew it wasn't Seattle, but we finally had the fact check, so I can't really take a shot there because I already did. So.
And the horse is already dead.
And the horse is already dead. That right, we beat it. Yeah. So, no real shot. Just want to thank you for coming on, Dougie. Appreciate it. You know, we've wanted to have you on for a while. It was just finding the right time, and glad you took time out of your busy day to help us out here with this. And can't wait till this one comes out because the folks are really going to get a treat in all of the stuff that, you know, you remember about the game. And I really love, you know, having that era. Comparison too, right? I just think, you know, I agree with you that our game is a great game. It's the best game on the planet, and we got to figure out some ways to bring her back. That's for sure.
Hmm. Okay, it's my turn.
Your turn.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot at myself.
Oh, all right.
Okay, a good friend of mine that used to pitch for the St. Clintel Flocking Ducks and pitched for Victoria Bait at one time, and he lived in Vancouver. He said, "Roberts, you're the only guy I know that splits the plate in half when you pitch."
That's a bad thing, isn't it, Dougie?
Yeah.
And then I used to joke with people and say that I used to call myself Chuck and Duck.
So the flincher?
Basically, because I wanted to make them put the ball in play, so I always would not so much aim for their bats, but put it in the zone a lot. And, you know, they had to put it in play. But I had great defense on a couple of teams I played on. But the other two things I wanted to quickly say, John Stewart, coach in Canada, was on my team. Doug Allen, coach in the juniors now, was on my team. And the third base girl, shortstop for Team Canada, Jen Salling. Her dad was on my team for about 3 years, and he was a great catcher and had a gun of an arm. And I just want to win the 649 Lotto Max one day, because as as my wife says, you give me half that money. So if it's $60 million, I'm getting $30 million, and I'm pumping every goddamn penny into softball. But I won't just sponsor my team. I'll sponsor all the teams, and there'll be lots of clinics on Vancouver Island, and I'll be bringing everybody out of the woodwork to do these clinics, and you guys will be there for sure.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dougie.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks, Dougie. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit MyLloydMinsterNow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.